Want to take shadow IT out of the shadows? Want to figure out what's going on in your environment? Really? Stay with us. We'll cover that in just a minute. Hello, folks. Thanks for joining us today. Well, we are joined by Stuart Dankovy. He is a, what's your title again?
Cloud App Security Specialist.
Cloud App Security Specialist. So this guy can give us all of the info we need in terms of figuring out the security around the cloud apps that are being used. And that's not what you're thinking of. It's not the apps that you're putting up. It's the apps that you don't know are being used. So how you doing, Stuart?
Doing well. Thanks for having me in, Pierre. Appreciate it.
No problem. First, what is cloud app security? Because, okay, it's cloud, it's app. Does that mean that we have to build something, security? Like, tell me a little bit about this beast.
Great question, because these days, of course, cloud is probably the hottest buzzword that we're hearing. Everybody's got a cloud product or cloudified something. Effectively, what cloud app security is it's a cloud app security broker. So it gives organizations the ability to get visibility to what's going on with these SaaS apps or cloud apps within their organizations that employees are using, and it gives them an opportunity to layer on some policy and control and have some threat prevention capability.
IT is there to provide the tools while retaining control. And if the control is too tight, then users and business units go around the control of IT, and that's where you end up with shadow IT.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's spot on, Pierre. It's exactly the challenge that a lot of IT pros are contending with today, is this notion of shadow IT is very broad, and organizations tend to think that they have, you know, in the single or double digit number of, you know, shadow IT applications that are out there, i.e. applications that aren't corporately sanctioned or deployed, yet users are, you know, consuming because it's so easy to do so, either free or at low cost. And quite frankly, what users are finding with these applications is it's a lot faster to do so without having to go through the typical, you know, rigor of going to IT to get an application approved and deployed.
So we're not just talking about the developer putting a SQL server under his desk here.
Not at all. Yeah, the challenge is much broader than that. In fact, the developer, who's somebody that comes from IT, in a lot of cases, like an IT pro, would have a semblance of understanding of some of the security requirements the organization has. The bigger challenge that organizations are dealing with today is general users that are going out there and consuming applications as a service, again, SaaS or cloud apps, without any appreciation of governance and security requirements that the organizations would generally lay on top of the consumption of applications. So you start to get issues cropping up where there could be data leaking, corporate information. And again, most times it's not that the user is trying to be nefarious, they're just trying to be productive. They're just trying to launch a marketing service, or they're just trying to, you know, be productive at the cottage on the weekend and get access to their documents.
But it opens a lot of liability issues, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a big challenge for organizations because either their corporate IP or potentially, an example, if they're a healthcare provider or a pharmacy, a retail shop, they may have a lot of very sensitive information about either their organization or their customers that they're bound by the shareholders and in a lot of cases laws to protect. And it's very difficult to do so when the information's floating out in the wild without any visibility or control.
Yeah, so now we've addressed what it is. How does it work?
Like,
are we planting agents everywhere and sniffing traffic? Like, how does it work?
Right, good question. A very common one that we get too. People are very sensitive to agents or having to deploy, you know, more components on top of an already bloated, you know, desktop or infrastructure today. There are no agents. There are a couple of ways that the Cloud App Security solution can get visibility. You can either upload logs and it'll consume it and give you some visibility. Obviously, it'll be a point in time view. It's only got access to as much as you can give it. The other option is deploying a VM in order to have a constant feed of the data that goes into our cloud app security engine. And again, it's a cloud-based, secure cloud-based service that'll provide you with that visibility and control.
So it's not a proxy?
Not a proxy.
No. So everybody that's in my environment that's connecting to those services, somehow that gets logged and analyzed and then reported back to you? Like,
that's right. Yep, absolutely. So the feeds that will consume into the Cloud App Security solution will come through either your proxy or firewall or both in order to get that visibility.
Okay, so that's great. And I think we've touched about that a little bit, but why should we care? Like, why should our audience, IT pros that are managing systems, is just one more thing to manage? Like, why should they care? Like,
sure, great question.
What's the grabbing point that they're gonna walk away and think, wow, I gotta have this?
Yeah, great ask. The primary reason why organizations are so receptive to this that we're finding is shadow IT is a huge issue. Yep. And this whole notion of shadow IT for most organizations today, think of it like a black hole. There's a ton of consumption and data moving and traversing, you know, not just from within your firewall, but also outside of your firewall and corporate environment where users are consuming applications and uploading corporate data or potentially downloading other information. And IT really has no visibility to this today.
Okay.
You may have a little bit of visibility, but in general terms, you don't have any visibility.
If you think you've got 10 applications that are being used outside of your control, the real number is most likely 10 times what you think is being used in your environment.
Right. Yeah, I think that's reasonable. And through real life scenarios that we're seeing with customers today, they're finding in the hundreds and in some cases thousands of SaaS or cloud applications that are being consumed across the enterprise. I mean, just think of this stat alone. There are over 13,000 cloud apps today that we've categorized and mm-hmm. risk scored within the CAS solution. 13,000 that are out there today that we've categorized and scored.
Okay, so when you talk about categorizing and scoring, what does that mean?
Great question. So there are lots of different applications. The challenge for an organization when you start with the discovery side is, hey, we see that users are accessing all these different applications, but what does it mean to us as an organization? And there are a couple of ways to look at that. Number one, are these applications risky, right?
So if you're looking in terms of?
In terms of how compliant may they be to regulatory requirements okay. that you've got. Do they allow the enforcement of things like encryption or allow the enforcement of things like multi-factor authentication?
Okay.
Are they on somewhat of a blacklist site? Like, are they known to be a site that threat actors are often accessing in order to pull out information from corporations that, again, users may be uploading information there
yep.
because it's a free service, completely unaware that it's very insecure in the back end and that site's terms are very clearly stating that they can use that information you upload for whatever that organization wishes to do with it.
Some like a lot of the photo sharing sites that we have where it says, if you read the EULA, it'll tell you that by uploading that picture there, we are now owner of that picture and can do whatever we want with it.
Spot on, absolutely.
The EULA that we all read, right? All the way to the bottom.
Just before clicking, I agree. That's
just
right.
Just before I agree, yes. Yeah, because it's really easy to read those 20 pages of very, very small font.
That's right.
Before we agree to anything. So now we've categorized it in terms of risk. What's the next step?
That's right. So the flow is, understand, so get visibility to what's going on. Start to understand if and or what types of risky applications employees may be using. The next step that organizations take that the solution provides capability for out of the box is the ability to start reporting on it, which is usually the next natural progression yep. in security. So start reporting on either anomalous behavior. So it could be strange things like, hey, Pierre's got an admin account for XYZ application, and he hadn't logged into it in 200 days, but he's logged in as an administrator from Toronto right now. And in an hour from now, we noticed that he also logged in from, you know, Hong Kong, some other city around the world that would likely set off alerts. You could also do things like, hey, Pierre is accessing some sort of a CRM application online, and it looks like he's just downloaded 10 gigs worth of data, which is pretty, anomalous.
Yep.
Let's report on that. Or potentially, let's take the next step and actually start to block some of that anomalous behavior.
Okay, so it allows you to discover what you have, report on it, but then you can take actions, like concrete
Correct.
Actions around it.
That's right. Then you can start to control it. So this is the concept that we talk about of sanctioning applications. And the way in which we do this for the sanctioned applications is there's an API hook. So here's where things really change. So we talked initially around visibility requiring visibility either from the proxy or firewall to feed into the tool,
yep.
which is a great start. The question we often get around corporate enterprise sanctioned apps is, what happens if my user is logging in from home? Or what happens if they're logging in from their own personal tablet or other device because they know their credentials? It's as simple as hitting a www.webpage. How do we control that?
Yep.
And the answer is, for the sanctioned applications we've got API hooks into it. So some examples are Office 365, obviously, but applications like ServiceNow, applications like Salesforce.com, and other enterprise-grade applications, via our API hooks, we don't actually need the user to be traversing the corporate firewalls or proxies in order to A, get visibility on what type of behavior is going on or what type of traffic or data is moving. And then from there, you can layer on DLP policies for these cloud applications.
DLP?
Sorry, data loss prevention.
Okay, because so we know at Microsoft we really like our acronyms.
That's right. Guilty of that. A dollar in the beer bucket for that.
That's right.
But the DLP policy aspect of it allows the organization to be able to look for things like a keyword. Maybe there are some very sensitive files associated with an acquisition the company's going to make, and those files should not be leaving any of those corporate enterprise cloud applications. You can start to alert and take control over, you know, blocking that type of thing from happening, or even in the case of PCI type data, the payment card industry regulatory requirements. You can identify things like a string that looks like a credit card number and alert if that type of information
or is a SIN number, like three digits dash three digits.
Spot
looks
on.
Like a SIN number, so we're going to block it.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Okay, so now I think we're going to take a look at a quick demo that's going to go run through those three pillars.
Let's do that. Absolutely.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mike Cassis. I'm a TSP for Cloud App Security. Today we're going to cover the architecture of the Cloud App Security solution. So let's dive in and take a look at first how we do shadow IT discovery. So here we have a particular user. We'll give this user a name, John. And John is an on-prem user. And to get to the internet, he's going to go through perhaps a firewall or a proxy or perhaps both. And John is going to go access a few different file sharing applications such as Box, Foreshared, and Mega. Now, each of these applications are very similar in functionality, but underneath, they're very different in how they handle security and compliance. Now, Cloud App Security is a SaaS delivered product, and Cloud App Security has what we call a Cloud App Database. And this Cloud App Database is comprised of over 13,000 plus SaaS applications. And these apps, each of them has a risk profile. Now, at the highest level, the risk profile provides a score for these applications. So we might give Box a 8 out of 10, Foreshared we might say is a 6 out of 10, and Mega is a 4 out of 10. So just at a very high level, we know that these services are slightly different. Now, what comprises those scores is easy to see in the console. So how do we take John's activity against these applications and actually parse that data against Cloud App Security? So we take an agentless and out-of-band approach by leveraging the logs that are generated by these devices. So every time John goes through these devices, he's generating records in these logs. So by exporting those logs, the customer can then facilitate a manual upload to Cloud App Security via port 443 over HTTPS. Now, all the parsing takes place on Cloud App Security's side, and then those logs are removed and are never written to disk. So it's only handled in memory. Now, this is great for a customer that wants to test the discovery capabilities as far as a POC. But if they want to actually do continuous discovery and not have to keep manually uploading logs, we support an automated approach via a log collector. So the customer can deploy this log collector on-prem, and this is just a simple Linux VM that the customer can deploy on both Hyper-V as well as VMware, and you would configure these devices to export their logs directly to the log collector over FTP or syslog. The log collector can then make sense of this information. It recognizes that files have been passed to it, and the log collector will automate the facilitation of uploading to Cloud App Security in a continuous method. This is now great for seeing trending in your users and actually comparing different geographic regions against each other. And there's a wide array of uses for this sort of continuous upload. So customers that actually want to use Cloud App Discovery in production, this is the method they would use. Let's take a look at the anatomy of the Cloud App Security console. So when the customer first logs in, this is their landing page. And as you can see, a lot of high-level KPIs are kind of put in front of the customer around the number of activities that have been monitored, how many files, how many governance actions have been taken. As we scroll down, you start to see how many alerts have been generated, how many violations, as well as an activity map for all of the activities that have been taking place and in what geographic regions. And you can take a look and see that 3 activities have been generated in Brazil, 1 in Portugal, 6 in Ukraine, and each of these is pivotable so that you can actually dive deeper into these applications and what activities have been generated. We also support trending for both activities, files, and active users, and going back as far as 6 months in time. So the user can use this information to really start to see what sort of uptake has actually been taking place across their connected SaaS applications. So moving away from the dashboard, let's take a look at first the discovery pillar. Now, discovery is where we're starting to look at all of the information generated by the logs that have been uploaded by the customer. So we start to see that 514 applications have been discovered, 7 of them are flagged as risky. We see the total amount of users and IP addresses, as well as a breakdown of the top apps by both traffic, uploaded data, transactions, users, and IPs, and same thing for those that have been flagged as risky. Now we can learn a little bit more about what has been generated by those logs by actually going to look at the list of SaaS applications. Each SaaS application is given a risk score, as we talked about, and we can start to look at why it was given the score that it was given. Now Office 365 has a perfect score of 10, and this isn't by accident. This is because each of the properties that make up that score are in good standing. So we have general information around the standing of Microsoft as a company, the information around each of the security properties, whether or not it supports multi-factor authentication or user roles or encryption protocols, as well as information around compliance and different standards. So a more reputable application will have a lot of yeses, and a less reputable application will see, you'll start to see a lot of no's. Each of these weightings for each of these categories is actually configurable by the customer so that they can change the weighting of the scoring based on their risk appetite. So as we move down the line, we can start to see all of the IP addresses that were captured in those logs, and we can pivot in on a particular IP to actually see that this single IP has been accessing a certain amount of applications, how many of them were flagged as risky, as well as the amount of upload and download traffic respective to that user, as well as trending and the amount of transactions. A whole wealth of information on this log-based approach. Now, as we move over into Investigate, we're moving now into the sanctioned SaaS world, where we have connected via API into our sanctioned applications. So first off, we can see all of the activities across all of our applications. We have 40 million activities currently being monitored in this environment, and these go across all of our applications, such as Google Apps and SharePoint Online and Box and Office 365, as well as all of the files across all of these applications. And we can actually call out information around who these files are shared with. So we can look at the list of collaborators and start to see whether or not they're internal or external collaborators and decide how we want to deal with these files. We also look at all of the accounts across our SaaS applications and whether or not these accounts are internal or external and what apps they have been accessing and when they were last seen. We also have a number of built-in reports that can call out interesting areas that the customer might want to report on up the chain, such as what are our top operating systems in use. So as we see, Windows is the number one used operating system, but we also can see that iOS, an outdated version, has been flagged 340 times for different users, as well as information around the browser use. So we can start to look at what versions of browsers are being used. So if we've rolled out a new version of IE, we might want to see a higher number in the IE 11 category versus IE 10, and we can start to monitor that adoption. So once you get this information and all this visibility, we now want to move over into control and actually start taking actions and generating alerts based off of what we see. So out of the box, we have a number of templates that are generated for the customer to use. So let's take a quick peek at some of our DLP templates. So out of the box, we have a template that looks for externally shared source code. This is great for customers to do in-house development. We'll go click Create Policy, and we'll give it a name, we'll give it a short description, a severity level, and now you can see what's been pre-configured for the customer. We can look for any files that are violating the fact that this is a public and externally shared file, as well as any extensions that match any of the pre-built extensions, such as PHP, Java, or Python. If we want, we can change these extensions or even append more to the list as we see fit. This is a very easy way for the customer to find a very quick value out of this product. Now let's take a look at a policy we've already crafted under the policy pane. And this particular policy was looking for PCI compliance violations. That is looking for payment card information and credit card numbers. So again, we're looking for anything that's publicly shared. And now what we've done is we've enabled content inspection specifically for credit card information. Whenever this credit card information gets detected within a file, we can take a particular governance action, and we are not limited to the same governance action across all of our SaaS applications. For Google Apps, we can just notify a specific user, and for Box, we could potentially remove external users or remove the direct shared link. It's that simple to create a policy. When policies get triggered, they generate alerts, and the governance actions are then taken place. So I hope you can see that based on just the sheer amount of templates we have and the customizability of these policies, the customers can now use built-in cloud DLP to handle a lot, to make sure that only the data that they want in their cloud applications is residing there. So let's jump over into alerts finally and actually look at the anatomy of some alerts that have been generated. So alerts can be generated specifically around the policies you've created, but we also have a number of alerts that will get generated based on our anomaly detection engine and our user and entity behavior analytics engine. So here we have one that was flagged for anomaly detection. If we go in and take a deeper look at this, we can start to see why this was flagged. This IP address was flagged on our end as coming from an anonymizer or a proxy, potentially a Tor exit node. This is a user that has admin credentials. What we noticed is, if we see up in the tags here, that this was a user using Google Apps and Exchange Online simultaneously, which is also very interesting. And there were 6 failed logon attempts. We also see that this user was logged in from the US, where this user happens to reside physically. However, we see that an hour later, from her first login on Exchange Online, she logged in again from Google Apps in Tel Aviv, Israel, about an hour later, which is not possible given the sheer distance of these those two locations. So if we scroll down a bit, we can actually see the activity log that took place and why this was flagged in our system. So this user was generating an email on Exchange Online. Now we see the 6 failed logon attempts. The user was logged on, they were suspended, they were logged out, and then that user kept on sending emails on Exchange Online. So the user potentially had no idea that this was going on, yet we can now the customer can start to see this information right in Cloud App Security. So this was a quick overview. I hope this was helpful and you now have a sense of the scope of information and controls made available to the customer in Cloud App Security. Thank you.
All right, so we're back. I hope you enjoyed that little demo. Lots of information to process. We understand that. But Stuart, now our audience, the IT pros we've talked about what it is, what the pain point right. It addresses, and now they've seen it in works. And I'm sure there's a whole bunch of people there that want to know how do they test drive it, how do they get their hands on it, what's the next step. So from here, where do we go?
Great question. So you'll see in a page that we're going to provide or some links that are available, there are a whole bunch of resources that we'll give you access to, including TechNet articles that talk about how you'd actually use the technology, to the ability for you to go ahead, if you've got an O365 tenant, go ahead and actually go for a trial and deploy this in your environment. Again, get that type of visibility that we talked about. and that we've now demonstrated within your own environment to at least take that first step and identify, you know, how big that shadow IT challenge is for you, shine a big light on it, and take that right out of the shadows for your organization.
Okay, and you can find more information at this URL that I'm going to insert in post-prod at the bottom of this video. And thanks, Stuart.
Thank you very much, Pierre.
Great information. And of course, if there's any comments, please write them down at the bottom here, and we'll try to address them as best we can. On that note, thanks for joining us. Have a good day.
Take care. Bye-bye.